Welcome to the Social Network Show. How do you feel about social technology in this connected, networked world we live in? Your host of the Social Network Show, Dr. J, interviews entertaining and informative guests to tackle the most pressing digital issues of interest to business professionals and nonprofit leaders, to parents and educators, and to those wondering where all this is taking us. And now your host, experimental psychologist, Dr. Jane Karwoski. Welcome to the National Crime Prevention Council series on the Social Network Show. I'm your host, Jane Karwoski, experimental psychologist, Dr. J. My co-host for the NCPC series is Michelle Boykins, Senior Director of Communications of the Washington, D.C. nonprofit, our National Crime Prevention Council. Welcome, Michelle.
Happy to join you once again, Dr. J, and I'm so excited to talk about this issue that everyone's had on their minds these days.
Thank you. NCPC believes that effective crime prevention is local people working with local law enforcement to address local issues. Unfortunately, the law enforcement community has suffered some major reputation setbacks with officer-involved shootings, neighborhood riots, and high-profile media attention on these situations. How can embattled police departments gain back public trust? How can the rest of the law enforcement community bounce back from the recent events and work closely with the members of their communities? Those are the questions. Michelle, who have you invited to join us today for answers to those important questions?
Well, I'm pleased to introduce our guest, Chief Gary McNamara of the Fairfield, Connecticut Police Department. Chief McNamara is a veteran of the town of Fairfield, Connecticut Police Department, starting as a patrol officer in 1988. There he served as a field training officer and was temporarily assigned to an auto theft task force. He has served the department as a detective, detective sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and now chief of police. During his career, he has directed the Field Services Division of the Fairfield Police Department, covering patrol, investigations, and special services. In the past, he's overseen the emergency response team, hostage negotiators, training unit, internal affairs, accreditation, and public information. In 2002, he was the lead negotiator at Fairfield University, where he successfully negotiated the release of 27 students and a professor held hostage on the campus by a subject claiming to possess an explosive device. That same year, 2002, Chief McNamara was a Fairfield County Hero Award nominee for courage, dedication, and commitment to public service, and Police Officer of the Year for the Bridgeport Exchange Club. Chief McNamara was among the law enforcement responders to the tragedy at Sandy Hook and has taught in the area of critical incidents response. He has also taught interview and interrogation techniques, hostage negotiations, and school violence prevention strategies. Thank you for joining us on the Social Network Show, Gary.
Well, Michelle, thank you very much for having me, Dr. J. Also, thank you very much for allowing me to share some time with you to discuss what is a really, really important issue.
Well, thank you, and it's our privilege. I want to mention that when I was speaking before and I mentioned neighborhood riots, you know, a lot of times those are demonstrations which are peaceful to begin with, and sometimes certain individuals become too rowdy. So what I want to know is, can you explain community policing to our listeners and what it means in general and what it means to you?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the basic answer is it's the policing method involving our communities. And I know that it might seem like that's an obvious answer, but in order to really understand it, you have to look at what traditional policing was all about. It was really crime control. We wanted to stay independent of the community to do our job. We wanted to avoid people influencing our decisions. But oftentimes that decision gives us a distance and lack of involvement in the community. Now, community policing really just broadens our role and function. We are the face of local government. You know, we're the only agency that is really operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And law enforcement now, unfortunately, is being asked to dig deep into our society ills and our society problems, where the old model might have been just respond to a call, resolve that call, and move on. Now we're digging deeper into it to find permanent solutions. And we can't do it alone. We need the community to help. We really have to look at community policing as a responsibility of all of us. If you basically deal with human beings, then you can help law enforcement improve the quality of life to prevent crime. And that's really what community policing model is all about, is looking at solutions within our community and maybe being in the forefront of those solutions, but clearly looking at a global approach, all of us together working to solve some of these problems.
This is a serious topic, and we have a number of questions to ask Chief McNamara. To help us continue bringing you the podcast, however, we do have sponsors, and I'd like to tell you about that just now, and then we'll get right back to the questions for Chief McNamara. Today's sponsor of this episode is Casper Mattresses, obsessively engineered. American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. And now you can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/network and using the code NETWORK, as in the social network show. After all, you spend about a third of your life sleeping. Let's make sure you are spending that time on a good mattress. Casper brings two comfy technologies together for better nights and brighter days, latex foam and memory foam. So they've got just the right sink, just the right bounce, no matter how you sleep. They've got a risk-free trial and a return policy. They deliver it straight to you. You can try it for 100 days and nights, and if you're not happy, they will pick it back up. Now, at a store, maybe you'll get a minute or two to try the mattress, but with Casper, you actually get to sleep on it. It's $500 for a twin-size mattress and $950 for a king-size mattress. Comparing that to industry averages, that is an outstanding price point. So get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/network and using the code NETWORK. And I'm sure that even policemen benefit from a good night's sleep. So if you can tell me more, Gary, about what you have told your officers as they have seen the media coverage about the officer-involved shootings and what you've seen, what has the conversation been like?
Well, you know, we have to understand that most of our calls for service come from our community. You know, we generate our own calls, but the majority of the calls are the community asking us for help or looking for assistance. Mm-hmm. So our goal is really to continue to increase those calls through a more involved community. Now, the issue with regards to this national climate and discussion that's occurring around the country, first of all, we're telling our officers to be safe. And we're really emphasizing the one-on-one positive police contact that people remember. There are thousands and thousands of interactions every day with police officers and our community members that are wonderful interactions. We have to remember to emphasize those local. Think globally, understand the global atmosphere, but at the same time, the way we're going to change opinions is through an involved community and those one-on-one positive interactions. They may not get the national attention, but they matter to people. And if you ask most people about the relationship that they have with their local police departments, generally that feeling is going to be positive. But we want to always be cognizant of that national dialogue that's occurring. But remember, we can have impact in our local neighborhoods one-on-one through community interaction and good respect for one another.
And I would imagine that the more contact, the more positive one-on-one contacts that police officers make, then that stacks the deck in their favor, you might say, because if there's more of those, then the percentage goes up and the overall perception is more positive. I know that you were one of the first responders in the aftermath of the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary. What has that experience taught you about how law enforcement and a community can work together?
You know, first of all, that was a horrific tragedy, and you know, we, I think, in the area are still dealing with it. But we have to understand mm-hmm. that evil exists, and there's two things that we need the community for. Number one is we need to do good crime prevention. That means you have to say something if you see something out of the ordinary. Our goal in a situation is to prevent any further incidents from occurring. So even those small, insignificant things may prevent another tragedy. And what we've seen over time is that when similar acts are reported, they can be prevented. And we've seen that around the country, that acts, maybe not likely to be as horrific as Sandy Hook, but certainly events have been disrupted by the community reporting things that they've occurred. And here's the other thing we need to do. We need community support. This was a tragic event that affected many people's lives around the country. Every parent who had to send a child to school had fear that, something would occur in their communities. We have to remember that. And it's like money in the bank. We have to always have these good contacts with people. So if tragedy does occur, we can all support each other as we move forward to address that.
Right. Well, do you think there's any lessons learned from that experience that you apply to your community policing philosophy from that point on? How has it changed things?
I do. I think there's more involvement within the schools. I mean, our officers are in the schools. They're stopping by for lunch. They're driving through the area. They're stopping when kids are playing kickball outside. They're interacting in the schools. Twofold. One is to have a positive interaction, and number two is a prevention method. That we know that police officers, visibility of police officers, police cars, certainly has a positive, reassuring effect on the community and kind of takes away a little bit of that fear when they know that we're around to help them and prevent something from occurring. So I think it's just it brought us more in touch with the school community, with the parents, with the PTAs, with the administrators. And you know, the more contact we have, the better off everybody is and the safer they feel.
Well, we're learning a lot from you, Chief McNamara of Fairfield, Connecticut Police Department. In the second half of our show, we'll have more questions for Chief Gary, and I am going to carry on there. Michelle will be asking the questions, too. I'm Jane Karwoski, and you are listening to the NCPC series on the Social Network Show.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show. I'm Jane Karwoski with my co-host, Michelle Boykins of the National Crime Prevention Council. We are speaking with Chief Gary McNamara of the Fairfield Police Department, who is eminently qualified to talk with us about struggles law enforcement agencies are currently facing with growing scrutiny over officer-involved shootings and other police community interactions. Michelle, I know you have some questions to ask also.
I do. Chief McNamara, you were talking before the break about some of the things your officers are doing. What kind of activities help your officers build rapport in the community?
Well, I think the first thing we have to understand is we need frequent and different approaches. The more often we can reach our community, the better off we are, and the more variety in the programs that we offer, the more people we're likely to touch. And it starts really with a professional, well-trained, and responsive, and engaged law enforcement agency. People have to have trust in us, but there are specific programs that we find very useful in touching some of the community members. You know, we have things from senior programs that will call seniors to make sure that they're okay. We go to Stop and Shop or stores throughout the country. But in a local area, we go to stores and notify patrons if their purses are left unattended, and we put a little sticker on their purse to remind them to close their purse. We do auto programs for seniors. We have two universities in town. We go and talk to the students about how to be safe and engage them in some community activities. We meet with campus personnel off campus and those people living off campus on how to protect themselves. Media relations, obviously, is a very important program to us. We have a juvenile referral board. If juveniles get in trouble, yet we don't want to send them to the courts, we kind of get community members together and we look at ways to prevent them from acting out again. We do auctions of police car rides to touch on people who may be bidding on a variety of things. Obviously, Special Olympics is very important. I actually walk a mile in her shoes down the center of the town of Fairfield to bring significant issues on domestic violence. So we touch on so many different things. This year, we're going to paint our police car pink to engage people in breast cancer awareness. The Business Watch, Citizens Academy, alumni academies of different people that come in, and really important is building it with the kids. We have internship programs, and we have a well-established police explorer program that gets kids at a young age to appreciate and to understand the role that police officers play in our community. Say a few, just a couple.
Well, yeah, you're certainly busy in your community. And I know that, you know, when Dr. J was introducing this program today, she talked about embattled police departments, and I want to spend a moment on that. Are there tactics and activities different for an embattled police department than, say, the things that you're doing in Fairfield, Connecticut right now?
Well, I think that it's a process, and it takes a long time, and it doesn't happen overnight. But the good news is community trust and community engagement really can start instantly. You just have to start, you have to understand it, you have to believe in it, and you have to really start working towards it. The community tenets of community policing start with that philosophy, that from the top down, we are going to engage the community. Now, it takes a long time, and there are issues of trust that a community may have, a lack of trust towards their police department. So you wouldn't want to engage these programs in an island. You really want to start by saying, we're going to make a change. We're going to define the mission of the police department. That mission is going to be towards making our community safer through community engagement. And then begin. That's the great thing about community policing and law enforcement. Embattled or not, we can start just by changing the philosophy and really starting to build that trust. Again, it doesn't happen overnight, but step by step and inch by inch. The community will engage us. The community wants a qualified police agency that is trusted and engaged in their activity. We all want that. We all want to feel safe at night. We all want to feel included in making ourselves safe. And the good news is you can turn that around. It's difficult, but it does take time. But certainly the tenets of community policing, some of the programs that you have, the frequency is really going to matter.
So do you think that the idea of the police body cameras is helping with that trust and engagement? Or, you know, how do you feel it is as a tool for law enforcement? Is it useful or not?
I look at anything that we can do technology-wise to make our jobs better and to make the communities trust us is certainly a welcome thing. So I find body cameras to be very, very useful devices. The one thing with body cameras we have to understand is it starts with a policy. You got to make sure that there's a good policy. We have to understand who has freedom to look at the videos once they are recorded. We're going into people's houses that there may be some privacy issues. But any technology is not going to replace public trust and the tenets of good community policing. It can enhance those programs, but one-on-one relationships is what's going to really turn our community around. The body cameras will add a layer of trust because people will be able to see those interactions and will be able to review those interactions. So I welcome them. I think that they're inevitable, and I think that they are a good thing, but I think we have to be cautious to understand that they won't replace good relationships and good policing and good community interaction.
Well, there are certainly some chiefs out there who don't necessarily share your view. There's some pros and cons for using body cameras. And, you know, what do you think those are in terms of pushing this idea of body cameras for every single police department? Do you see that there's some negatives or are there more pros than cons?
Well, I think there are negatives. There's negatives of cost. Obviously, cost is an issue. Storage is a really big issue. The amount of storage you need to have these videos maintained is a significant one. And then I think the issues of we're only seeing a snapshot of an interaction. These cameras have to be turned on and turned off. They don't run constantly. So, again, there will be opportunities to view something and yet maybe not even get the full picture. So I think there are cons, and I think there are a lot of concerns with it. But I do think overall the ability to record interactions with our community, I think it happens now. We see videos from banks and stores that record our interactions. And again, the majority, the overwhelming amount of our interactions are great interactions, not worthy of video. But I think the pros will be that we'll have that there, and it'll help our communities believe that we have a more trusting community that's going to interact better with our community. So I think there are some cons, and I think we can work through some of those cons as we move forward. But I do think that inevitably more and more law enforcement officers will have body cameras. I think they're a good thing. I just think we have to understand the privacy issues and some of the costs and storage issues that come along with it.
We have a little bit more time for another question or two. Michelle, do you mind if I ask one?
Absolutely, please.
Okay, I'm just thinking that some of the areas where there's been a bad feeling between the community and the police for maybe even decades, that in that case, and even in where there have been lawsuits brought against the police department and even won, the adjudicators have determined that there was fault on the part of the police force. What do you think can be done in situations like that, where there's a real entrenched attitude on each side? How do you kind of make headway in that type of situation?
I think it really starts with discussion. I think we have to have those deep-seated discussions to understand where we came from. You know, history plays a big part in public safety. If you look back over the way we've policed this country for years and years, we have to look towards our historic approaches to it. I don't think the problems in any community are so overwhelming that discussion, that trust, and that level of interaction can't overcome. When you talk about lawsuits and you talk about police behavior that is not appropriate, I think police departments need a strong internal affairs division. I think people need to know they can go to the police, they can complain if they feel they weren't treated right, and that their opinion matters, that it's going to be investigated, it's going to be investigated properly, and if the officers have done something wrong, action has to be taken to correct the problem. And at the same time, we need the community support. We need, you know, everybody really has to come together as one, and we have to meld together with the overall goal of having safe communities. We all want the same thing. We all want safe communities. That's the starting point. Now we get the dialogue, we get the programs and the policies and procedures in place where we are a little more trusted by the community and our police officers are a little more understanding of the uniqueness that each of our communities has and the police department that each of our communities wants. And through time and effort and persistence, I think we can overcome a lot of the issues that occur within some of our communities.
Briefly here, one thing that has occurred to me is that in many cases it seems like there's just such a quick turn to the drawing the weapon and shooting. Is it possible that there is more training that could be done with hand-to-hand combat, you might say, when someone does not apparently have a weapon or they have a knife instead of a gun, to avoid reliance on shooting people?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously training with regards to different varieties and levels of use of force is really important. One of the things that we've instituted in our area is more focus on shooting decisions, on use of force decisions. Officers are put in situations via video cameras where the scenario is designed to interact with the officer and the officer's reaction to those problems. A lot of it is verbal. We really want to limit the amount of force we have to use in our communities. The lower amount of force that we have to use in our communities, the more trust we build. And it's not just recently. In our history in law enforcement, if you look at Robert Peel in the 1800s, mm-hmm. he indicates the minimal amount of force necessary to accomplish our job is the best way to gain community engagement. And really, that's something we have to understand and train for and really give our officers a lot of different options.
And Robert Peel, Bobby, that's where the name Bobby's came from in London, because he established that law enforcement.
Sure.
And they didn't, and I believe they still don't even carry weapons. They have special forces that have, you know, the tactical weapons and so forth. But it's a deep subject. thank you so much for joining us on the Social Network Show, Chief McNamara. Really appreciate that.
Yes, thank you very much, Michelle. Dr. J, thank you very much for allowing me to spend some time here discussing what I believe is really, really important. And the more we talk about it, the better off we all are.
And thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Dr. J.
And thank you to our listeners who are very important. You're our most important guest on the Social Network Show. And we hope that you have found it helpful to hear the law enforcement perspective on working together in the community to resolve policing problems. You can hear more about the Fairfield Police Department at fairfieldct.org/police. And please tell your social networks, online and off, about the Social Network Show. and subscribe to us on iTunes. Check out the blog page on our website, thesocialnetworkshow.com. Please have fun and be safe, online and off, until we welcome you here again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.